Hello and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the knitting podcast that's mostly about the projects. This week, the Halloween apple cozy, cats in hats, still going on to the sea, knitting a poppy, teaching other people to knit, the knit bit, and Stash Wednesday. Hello and welcome to episode 27. It's half term here, as it may well be with you. I realise, listening to Yarn in the City recently, I'm a little bit out of kilter with my podcast, so it might not be the most recent one, but I realise how lucky I am to have just 1 week of having my children off school, because one of the girls on Yarn in the City has, her son has 2 weeks off. Oh, that would be a bit like hard going. I can't believe it's half term already. As I seem to say constantly, it's just absolutely flying by. Something that's exercising my son in particular this week is the fact that Halloween is on the horizon. And something I was talking about last week was doing a Halloween apple cozy. Well, I think I first talked about it several weeks ago, but it's just taken me a little while to get round to it. And I've been distracted with Socktober and obviously the Enorma jumper that I'm making for my husband. But I finished the socks for my daughter, last week, and I needed a small project. And before I got on with the poppy, trying to keep things in chronological order, I started the Halloween apple cozy. I have a lovely pattern. I think I linked to it in either last week's notes or the week before. It's a, I obviously will link to it in this week's show notes. It's meant to be an apple cozy, and it has a very sweet picot bind off. It's not, I've used it to make actual apple cozies, ordinary everyday apple cozies. I started, when my son started school, I used to put his break time apple in that just to try and protect it a little bit. I wince when I see him flinging his bag into the car in the morning and sometimes flinging his lunchbox after it. I don't think one little knitted apple cozy is quite going to do the job, but there you go. You can only go so far. So this pattern is knitted in the round, or at least that's how I knit it. I can't actually remember now if it's meant to be knitted in the round, but to me it's just such an obvious thing to do. Well, you'd think. So I did the Judy's Magic Cast On, which I do for my sock toes. I now do this for anything which is effectively a tube with a fitted in end. So that would be hats, that I, because I like to knit, I don't knit many hats, but I would knit them crown down for preference, socks, this apple cozy. And part of the point of doing this apple cozy is that I want to put little faces on them. I'm doing them in pumpkin colours, and the idea is that they sit in the fruit bowl and they're really not scary, not in the slightest, but they're quite fun. So I knitted away in the round quite happily until I'd completed all the increase rounds, and then you have a depth of about 2 inches in which to put your face. And many of the patterns I've knitted recently have been in centimetres, and suddenly 2 inches feels like masses and masses of space. So I'd charted out a face for this, did my first round that had elements of the colour work in it, got back round, suddenly remembered you can't do intarsia in the round. I don't know why I always forget. I've met this problem a number of times recently, and I don't know why it's not one of those things that's in my head. Clearly, I don't try to do it often enough, because if I was doing it a lot, I would, you know, it would be in there and, you know, I wouldn't be so stupid. Anyway, what I did, because I didn't want to go back to the beginning, I changed from knitting in the round to knitting back and forth. I first came across this when I was making the Pearl Soho evening shrug in the summer, and at the time the concept blew my mind. But obviously it's actually very, very simple. So that's what I did, which meant that I got round those problems. However, obviously, meant at the end that I had to sew up that bit. And unfortunately, the seam is very, very close to the edge of the pattern, which very slightly pulls it a little bit. If you didn't know, you probably wouldn't see it. But it's just one of those things that seems to happen a lot. It was a stupid mistake that I should have foreseen. And partly it's because I'm hacking patterns around to suit myself. You know, my son is wearing his Doctor Who hoodie today, and he said, the hood's a bit big. And I said, well, yes, I know. That's because I had to kind of make it up as I went along, because, again, I was hacking a pattern about, and I was trying to take the concept of a hood from one pattern that was actually the wrong size and add it into a different pattern that didn't have the split up the front for the hood. So I had to improvise that and three bags full. But what I've said to him is to just wear it today and at the end of the day, tell me what he thinks, what he's found annoying or whatever. And then I can either sew the edge of the hood under and put a cord through it so he can tie it up, or I can seam the part at the front of the jumper where it's divided to start forming the hood. There's actually scope to sew that up, probably a couple of inches. We'll see what he thinks. By the time he's actually worn it for the day, then he'll have a better idea of what's comfortable. So there I was. I'd ended up knitting back and forth, and then it came to the picot bind off. And the first time I made one of these apple cosies, I did the picot bind off because I wanted to do the pattern as it was meant to be done. But the couple of times after that, quite frankly, I just couldn't really be bothered. So I did my ordinary stretchy bind off that I use for sock cuffs and mitten cuffs and that sort of thing. And really, as far as my son was concerned, that was absolutely fine. He was never even going to notice. So I went searching on YouTube for a tutorial, and I found one by an account called I Knit with Cat Fur, which is a fairly mind-boggling concept. But it was great. It was just did the job, sorted me out, and you know, as with many of these things, it's fiddly, but it's not difficult, and it's quite a sweet effect that you're ending with. But what struck me as rather interesting is that watching, I don't know if you know the picot bind off, but essentially one aspect of it is that you cast on two stitches every time. For each stitch that you're casting off, you cast on two stitches as part of that. Essentially, you're casting off, you end up then casting off four or something. I'm making no sense, but it makes sense when you watch someone who knows what they're talking about. And I realised, watching the person in the video casting on, it was the kind of cast on where you go as if to knit a stitch, but instead of pushing your stitch off the end of the needle, you put the loop that's on your right needle over the end of your left needle. What I consider to be the really most basic cast on, that's what I learnt to do as a child, and I didn't even know until about 3 years ago that there were any other types of cast on. And I realised that I've been doing it wrong. I was twisting my stitch every single time I put it onto the left needle. And watching her, I realised, and all of a sudden, it's an awful lot easier. So there you go, one of those little things. I've been doing it the wrong way for years and years and years. But there we go. So I realised what to do. I did it. The picot bind off worked. I seamed it up the edge. I've woven in my ends. And it's now sitting in my knitting bag. And I will bring it out one night, probably after he's gone to bed. I'll put an apple in one of these. I might well do another one as well. I had big plans last year to do several. So I've charted out this little face. The only thing I would say, obviously, I mean, how and when and on what you use a chart's completely up to you, obviously. Don't do what I did and forget you can't do Intarsia in the round. So I'm not quite sure how I'm going to do it, but I will make those charts available. I'll probably do them as a spreadsheet and then either post that as an image or post it as, PDF download, something like that. I'll come up with something and I'll make those available one way or another. I mentioned in the intro Cats in Hats. My mother came round on Friday evening and she brought with her this book called Cats in Hats, 30 Knit and Crochet Hat Patterns for Your Kitty by Sarah Thomas. And on the cover, there's a rather doleful looking, what is he, a Burmese or something, with this little green elf hat on. And I think we know what he's thinking, quite frankly. I don't think he's very impressed, but it's quite sweet. My mum just picked this up in the library and brought it over, and it was quite amusing. And essentially, there are all sorts of different hats, and they all sit on a sort of, like a little cap with holes for the cat's ears. So you've got this, and I think mainly they're done in Arran, so they're obviously done to be comfortable on the cat's head. And then the actual hat is knitted and attached to the cap, so the cat is actually wearing a cap, a skull cap really, and the hat is a sort of a decoration. But that's quite fun. So my mum was asking me if I had the various yarns, because she has really no form of stash. Quite astonishing, but there we are, it does happen. We were meant to be playing Scrabble, but I was scurrying backwards and forwards trying to find all these various types of yarn. Discovered a gap in my needle haul, or at least I discovered a duplicate gap, because before I started knitting, when I've early on started, I couldn't imagine why you would need more than one set of needles of any given profile, you know, 4.5mm circulars, 4mm straights, 7mm DPNs, you know, whatever it was that you had, why would you need more than one of that? But I've since learnt, quite honestly, I've really learnt. And unfortunately, I was a bit of a meanie, but I couldn't really lend my mum the 4.5mm from my Symphony set, because 4.5mm to me, it's just such a useful needle size. I use it so constantly for everything, really. I've said to her that I, you know, suggest she just goes and acquires some of those. So some of the hats in the book are quite fun, and I seem to stumble over images of animals wearing knitwear frequently. I'm not particularly into it, you know. We're hoping in a few years, that sounds a bit dramatic, but we've got plans for where we're going to be in a few years, and we'd like to get dogs and cats again then. We live very close to a very busy road, and our garden can't be fenced, so it's just not really an option at the moment. It wouldn't be kind. But when we finally do get dogs and cats, I think it's highly unlikely I'm going to be putting them in knitwear. One of my hens molted very badly recently, the poor thing. She's a bluebell, and she just looked such a sorry sight. You could literally see great patches of skin. She's much better now, but at no stage was I tempted to knit her a jumper. I don't quite understand why I keep coming across these images of animals in knitwear, because it's not my thing, but they can be quite amusing. And there was an article this week about a hairless hamster. I can't remember the details, but he was wearing a little silk vest that had been knitted for him by somebody in the vet's practice he'd been handed into, which was quite amusing. I'll look out the details of that, and I will I'll put it in the show notes. But if you are somebody who likes to put knitwear onto your cats, or if you know a cat loving knitter or a knitting loving cat owner, you might want to look at that book as an amusing Christmas present. I know you've been on the edge of your seats. It's time for the weekly progress report on the To The Sea Jumper, and I'm delighted to say it's coming on really, really well. I finished the sleeves last week, and it's now all onto the one cable. I've been reducing for all I'm worth. I've had to reduce the size of the cable now. The stage that I'm at, you have to do a particular decrease round followed by a plain knit round 24 times, and I think I've now done 18. And of course, as you reduce, I think I worked out, you drop something like, well, you drop 8 stitches 25 times. So you're going down vast numbers of stitches by the time you've finished. So that's coming on really well, and I would have to say the end is in sight. Certainly the end of the actual main part of the jumper. When I've got to that point, then I have to do the roll neck. They suggest in the pattern. You can do either a crew neck or a roll neck. I know my husband wants a roll neck, but really, once you get to that stage, that feels like nothing at all. You know, you could dash off a roll neck in a couple of evenings. So I have this week, I've been sitting up knitting far too late, but as it's half term, I don't have to be up at 7 o'clock, and I certainly haven't been. I must admit, I've been a bit of a Rumpelstiltskin this week, it's really good to know that the end is in sight with that, because there's so many other things I want to knit, plus Christmas knitting. Something I need to start thinking about is getting hold of the polystyrene balls that will go in the baubles that I like to make. I find a personalised bauble is a really lovely present, particularly for primary school teachers. I know that I'm sure primary school teachers love getting chocolates and this and that, you know, I mean, who doesn't really? But they're gone, they're very ephemeral, whereas if a child gives you something that, for instance, a personalised Christmas decoration, and there's obviously been effort has gone into it, I mean, not as much as it might appear if you're not a knitter, but so I would get my son to decide what sort of pattern he wanted on it, what colours he wanted. So although he isn't doing the actual knitting, he has been the artistic director behind the end product, so I like to do that. I did one of those also for my daughter's teacher when she was in the first year of high school. She die rather than admit that now, but at the time that's what she wanted to do, you know, and that went down well. So I'm pleased to be very much making progress onto the sea. As a project knitter, I'm always very happy to get on to decrease rounds, because I just find it so fulfilling seeing the progress and really knowing that you're on your way to a finished object, and you know, something that somebody can wear. And also, I know I was putting this project off a bit, really, and it's just great to know that I'm over the hump and I'm nearly there. And I was saying before I started this project that I was going to need, once it got to a certain point, I was going to need a small project, a portable project, because this jumper is now far from portable. And I was talking about the Halloween apple cozies as one option, and the other thing was a poppy. So at the weekend, I started looking up these poppy patterns in detail. I mentioned several last week. And the one that I liked the look of, the actual aesthetic of the finished object, was the one on the Full of Beans and Sausages blog. Now, what I really liked about this one initially, regardless of anything to do with what the finished item looked like, is that the first thing you do is you make an I-cord. And believe it or not, I've never done it. I will confess, I've slightly avoided it. But I learned how to do it. It's so simple. It's a stupid thing to avoid. You know, they're really no bother at all. I think I also imagined they'd be stupendously fiddly. And of course, they're not. Because you're sliding the thing up and down the needle rather than turning or whatever. It really, really straightforward. So that was good. And I used some 4-ply mercerized cotton that I... Oh, no, I didn't. I didn't use that. Sorry, I'm getting confused. I picked that up and considered using it, but it was too thin. I used a green, the King Cole cotton aran that I was using in the summer when I was doing lots of baby knitting. And I remember, as it went along, I remembered that I had said in the summer that one of the colours, and it must have been the green, I found it was splitting badly, and it was doing the same with the I-cord, so I had various loops sticking out of it. But I was taking the view that it was probably a practice run, but that was quite frustrating. Anyway, so you get to the end of the I-cord, and then you do a lot of increasing in order to make the circular... This poppy doesn't have a black middle like the ones that you buy has. It has a green middle. You know, fine, that didn't particularly bother me. So you do that bit, and then you start to create the petals. Well, I just couldn't follow the instructions, quite simply. And she does say on that page, this is where the instructions get a bit weird and random, and if you don't understand, please contact me, etc, etc. But to be honest, I wasn't really in the frame of mind to start wrapping my head around it, and I just thought, sod it, I've got two others. I thought, I'm just going to put this to one side, and I'm going to try one of the others. So the next one I tried was from the Royal British Legion's own website. much more straightforward. You basically knit 4 individual petals and you overlap them and stitch them, and then you make a little black piece for the middle, and that's you. I didn't actually like the effect, so I started tinkering with one of the petal. Well, I'm not very keen on garter stitch, quite simply. I don't particularly like the finish. So I had already done one in garter stitch. I knew I wouldn't particularly like it, but I was just going to just follow the pattern and see what came out. The second one, I did it all stocking stitch, and of course it rolled. So the third one, I did a garter stitch border and did the rest of it stocking stitch, and that wasn't so bad. But I realised by the time I had the 3 that it was going to be more like a Maltese cross than it was a nice kind of rounded poppy. So I kind of abandoned that. I don't think I had much sticking power the day I was doing this. But it's occurred to me since, I've obviously still got the bits, it occurred to me since that what I could do is just make a couple more, because where 4 might look a bit sparse, 6 might make all the difference. I was using a sock yarn. You're meant to use 8-ply, so I doubled up. I just used the stock yarn with a double strand, and it's a lovely colour. So I was kind of happy with that aspect of it. I had thought that using double strand of sock yarn might be a bit of a nightmare. I'd constantly be sticking my needle into the wrong bit, but in fact it didn't really happen. It seemed to settle down and behave like a single strand very easily, so that's great. And I also thought what I might do, I'm going to do some more petals and see whether with 6 it rather does more. I know that poppies don't have 6 petals, but that's life. I thought I could then just do an I-cord to stick down from it. So we'll see. There's a bit of tinkering around. I think I am also, though, just going to buy. I was always going to make a donation to the Royal British Legion, because this is one of those efforts that I really, it's important to me to support it. And I think I'm just going to end up buying my standard ceramic or enamel pin as well. But, you know, I'd like to have a go at making one of these and see how it comes out. I mentioned in the intro about teaching people to knit. And I've had the pleasure of the company of a youngish girl, she's probably 9 or 10, at my son's swimming lessons a couple of times over the last few weeks. She's very chatty, she chats to everybody, and a couple of times she's come and sit next to me and she's asked me lots of questions about my knitting. Now that's very unwise, because knitters are apt to give you an extremely full answer and don't need asking twice to give you chapter and verse. So we've chatted a couple of times and she's very interested, and she was telling me that her granny knits and this and that and the other, and somehow I found myself offering to teach her to knit, although this was before she had said that her granny knits, because when she said that I said, oh well, I'm sure your granny would love to teach you how to knit, but she's quite keen to give it a go. So my son has his swimming lesson this afternoon, so I'm going to take along some thickish yarn and some big-ish needles, because I think it's difficult learning to knit with thin yarn and small needles. And if she's there, because she's not always there, or if she is, she doesn't always come and talk to me, but you know, we'll see. I'd like to at least honour my promise, put it like that. Even if she's not there, I know that, you know, I did what I said I was going to do. And if she is there, I'll just teach her how to do a very basic knit stitch and perhaps a purl stitch and see what she thinks. Because it's always lovely, you know, knitting gives me and you so much pleasure, and I would love to think that I could start that in someone else, you know, someone young. I mean, 9 or 10, you could be a very capable knitter at 9 or 10, you know, and it might be something that she does all her life and gets some pleasure from, and it would be really lovely to be able to give that to her. So we'll see if she's there, we'll see if she remembers, we'll see if she's interested. I don't consider myself to be a particularly good teacher, but I think probably because she's that bit older than my son, and I get the impression she's not one of those who's liable to sort of flounce off in a huff if it doesn't go right first time. So we'll see how that goes. I'll report back next week. I invented a hashtag on Instagram last week. I invented Stash Wednesday. I thought perhaps Stash Wednesday was something we should all confess to once in a while, the sheer burgeoning volume of our stash. Although actually at the moment, if anything, mine is reducing, as bit by bit I use this vast amount of yarn to actually create things. But I have to say, I don't think I'm going to be needing to buy any for a while. But you still find gaps. One of the yarns that my mother needed for one of the Cats in Hats was a red Aran. Well, I don't have a red Aran. I have red sock yarn, I have red chunky, and I have red super chunky, but I've clearly never needed red DK or red Aran, so that's a gap in my stash, but I'm not likely to rush out and fill it just yet. I'm tempted, but you can just spend so much money. A few quid here, a few quid there. Before you know it, you've sort of spent £30, you know, just filling in a few odds and ends. And I'm quite a thrifty person. I think it's part of my nature, and I like using my resources efficiently. And using a yarn for this Halloween Apple Cozy, which I bought kind of this time last year in order to make exactly the same type of thing, I find that very satisfying. You know, nope, I don't need to go out and buy more. I've got just what I need here. So that's very pleasing. And I will leave you to think about a new invention that is in my head. I'm a very open source kind of girl, so I'm not looking to lay any claim to anything anybody might do with this, but it suddenly occurred to me, I think that was last week again, that these Fitbits are all very well. I don't have one. I'm not a fitness enthusiast. I'd love to be in some ways, but I'm not made that way mentally or physically. And apparently the Fitbits are not a miracle cure. I think, as with so many of these things, if you're somebody who's already very much into fitness and you have one of these things, then it's great. It just bolsters what you're doing even more. Although I do know one person who has made good use of a Fitbit and has changed their habits, but I think they're in the minority. But I wondered about a Knitbit. I thought about a gadget you could wear around your wrist, or a ring you could wear on a finger that counted the number of stitches you'd done in a day, or tallied up the number of stitches that you'd knitted in a certain garment or something. And I thought that could be quite amusing. So, you know, let me know if you rush off to your workshop and come up with something. I'd love to see it. Don't forget knitting hour on Thursday. I always forget. It's because it clashes with my son's bedtime. And by the time I've come downstairs from doing that, my mind is just on, you know, glass of wine or something. So, and every Friday, I suddenly remember with a sinking heart. But please don't forget knitting hour on a Thursday evening. It's fun to take part. I'm Ordinary Knitting on Ravelry, The Ord Knitter on Twitter, and The Ordinary Knitter on Instagram. And I would love to engage with you on one of those platforms. But for now, have fun, happy knitting, and we'll talk again next week. Bye!